Picking up where a real-life Boston crime drama left off, we break down City on a Hill, coming up.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Woo! Wow, what an opening episode. I knew this was going to be good. I knew this drama was just going to be fantastic, but I was blown away. And it's 1 hour, and the best thing about Showtime shows and any show that's on a cable network that's, you know, you pay for, is that it's an actual hour. I think this one was 1 hour and 3 minutes, and it is actually that. Just start to finish. You don't have the commercials. You're fully enveloped, fully sucked in. Thank you guys for joining us for the opening episode here of City on a Hill, which is the brand new Showtime series produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Very Boston. If you're a big fan of Boston, other movies that we're going to talk about and other shows that we're going to talk about, this is very much that. It picks up right after what is called the Boston Miracle. And so it takes kind of everything of the tension around that Boston Miracle and what was happening in crime-ridden Boston in the late 80s and early 90s and builds on that. And we see that through Aldis Hodge and Kevin Bacon and their characters and that unlikely come together. Thank you guys again for joining us. I'm going to be your host today. My name is Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Instagram or on Twitter at TheOnlyMC. And we're going to be breaking down this episode here for the next several weeks. I know it's Monday right now. Every other week future, we're going to be doing it on Sunday night, which is when this show airs on Showtime. And we hope that you guys will join us to be able to break this down, be able to give us your feedback, comment in the live chat. We're checking that out. If you guys are listening to this later or watching this later, put any thoughts that you have in the comments. We're going to be reading those. We want to be able to follow you guys up to date with this journey and be able to have you guys watch it along with us. Overall thoughts on this episode? Loved it. I love the premise of the show. I've loved everything Boston, you know, movies like The Town and The Departed and other ones like that. I've loved that. And I feel very much this is Boston to the core. And people who live in Boston know Boston and love it. People who are on the outside of Boston, like myself, see it, want to be a part of it. And this is exactly what that is. It's very much tight-knit Boston, and I was a big fan. Immediately sucked in. We're going to be talking about a lot coming up in this episode. We're going to be talking about a lot of different topics, talking about the actual Boston Miracle crime. Going to be talking about the subject matter and the premise throughout, which was really two things. It's how things are versus how they should be. And this is a big premise that is talked about throughout. It's played out in both characters. That's something that we're going to be talking about. Going to be diving in, grading each character, because there's a scale of good, bad. They each have some elements that are things that you love, each have some things that you hate, and then breaking down what the people in the news are saying and any gossip. And then in addition, talking about the top Boston TV shows and movies, very much dealing in the same thread of Boston crime. But let's get into it of talking about the actual crime, the Boston Miracle. And this is something that they mention right at the beginning. The first opening line that talks about Charles Chuck Stewart had his wife killed, it was a child, and that is very much just seen throughout, but it's not actually talked about. And even for me, it wasn't until I got to the end and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is interesting. We're picking up and it's based off this true story. It picks up from this true story. But what we're seeing is not actually the true events. So that is an interesting dynamic that I'm experiencing. And I think that other viewers are experiencing through this of this is real, but is not real. I always made the joke that Hollywood and entertainment now, there's multiple things of based on a true story, inspired by a true story, and inspired by true events. And everyone loves the true aspect of things nowadays. And you'll see that now when you watch TV shows and watch movies. So those are the three things. You're based on a true story, based on true events, or inspired by true events. I would probably put this one as inspired by true events. This is the lowest of the three on the category. Again, still very much real, and I still appreciate that and appreciate the authenticity that is portrayed in the actors and portrayed in the setting and in portrayed just in the reputation that people have and the reputation that people are given. I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. So this is all based around that Boston Miracle. And as I say at the beginning there, that Charles Chuck Stewart. Since that is not talked about, want to be able to talk about that a little bit and maybe how we see that playing out in the actual episode. So this, again, was in late 80s, early 90s, about talking about how this happened. And so Charles Stewart, if you don't know, he was born in 1959, very much just a Boston person, born in Revere, Massachusetts, and seemed to have a very successful life in 1989, was married to his wife, Carol. He had earning over $100,000, and his wife was an attorney, and together they seemed like a great couple. Then there was the mystery where she was killed. The baby thankfully survived. He says that it was a black man around 30 who jumped them in the backseat of their car, killed them, killed her, was obviously the cause behind that. And this really just enveloped Boston. As you can imagine, during that time of racial tension in general, to be able to have a prominent couple be making these accusations that a black man was a murderer, huge. And so the mayor attended the funeral, police chief attended the funeral, the cardinal attended the funeral, the Massachusetts governor, Dukakis at the time, attended the funeral. And so this was huge. There's only one problem, which obviously they talk about a little bit during this, and it's implied, and anyone who knows that story, is that it's not true. Stewart's brother gave him up. A lot of people thinking that Stewart wanted a life insurance policy that Carol had. And so that is the setup for this entire thing. And again, they don't talk about that very much. I wish they did. I wish they did talk about this throughout. And thank you. I see JS in the chat said, very pacey show. Thank you for that. Anyone else watching, again, make sure that you're commenting. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And so it doesn't necessarily get talked about in the episode, and I wish they did a little more, because they show it right off the top, and especially for any new viewers, you don't know about this. Maybe people who are listening and watching in Boston know about this, but outside of Boston, I didn't know about the Boston Miracle, especially because it's 30 years old at this point. And so I wish they talked about it more. I love how I like the mystery of it, but I wish they talked about it more. And so they really talk about the various characters. Aldous Hodge's character, DeCourcy Ward, seems to be kind of picking up from this, because they mentioned several times throughout about the killing of a pregnant woman and how they wanted to take down cops for it. And so it's mentioned and you see that tension, but I wish they did more of it. And I wish they took some time to explain. And maybe they will in future episodes. But that, for me, I just wanted to see more of that. The acting, though, as we pick up and move into looking at the characters, the acting was phenomenal. And I was enthralled throughout. Aldous Hodge's character, again, as Ward, was incredible. Kevin Bacon's character as Jackie Rohr was incredible. Jonathan Tucker as Frankie Ryan, and countless other smaller characters. And what I loved about it was that every character has highs and lows. They have good aspects and they have bad aspects. And they really point this out throughout. And I love it, because it makes you not be able to immediately turn a character off. Even someone such as Kevin Bacon's character, who you see this as, oh, you know, what is he? It's both. He has good aspects. He has bad aspects. So I want to be able to go through and just give rankings of the characters in terms of good and evil. And I think the best good character, obviously throughout, is Aldous Hodge's character, DeCourcy Ward. And the good aspects about him, he represents the good side of the law. He is an attorney. He's fighting for justice. You see that throughout, trying to bring down the person who allegedly shot the cop, trying to change the system. He has the, you know, quote, "I want to rip out the effed up machinery in this city. I want to tear it all down." He's the force of good. He's the force of justice. And that is seen throughout this first episode. And I'm thinking it will be seen throughout the first show. He's also a family man. So he has a significant other who is at home, seems to want to be able to provide for her, seems to want to do what's right by her. He also turned down bigger money to make a difference, which is awesome. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, he seems to be doing pretty good. If I'm going to rank all these characters on 1 to 10, I'm probably ranking DeCourcy Ward as an 8.5. And the reason that I say 8.5 is because he still is a little too cocky. You see that of he wants to be able to prove something, and he's almost blinded of being able to do what is truly right and be able to maybe play that long game and be able to listen to others. He's not listening a lot. He's talking a lot. He is coming in saying, oh, this is what I know I have to do, and I'm going to do it, and nobody's going to stop me, and I'm going to be the one. And that's very cocky, and that can get him into trouble. And so that's why I'm giving it an 8.5, because I think that, and maybe he works too much, and, you know, that's something that we all deal with. So I can't really fault him too much on that, but maybe an 8.5. Next up on the good rankings is Dickie Minaj, and he is a officer with the Boston Police Department. Good things about, if I had to rank him on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably saying about a 7, 7.1, because he seems to be loyal. He obviously wants to protect other members of the police department, probably to a fault. And so that is something that you see throughout is him, even when his introduction with Hodge is, oh, is he too loyal? Is he very much, you know, Boston police versus the world and too loyal overall? And so that is something where I can give him a lot of credit, but also take a little away from him. He seems to want to do what's right in terms of justice. Anyone who is a police officer, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt of going in for the right reasons of wanting to be able to actually make justice come to be. That obviously has been burned a couple times in regular life and even in terms of this show of Boston police is not always in the right. And even you see that at the beginning where the whole thing where this kid shot the cop, allegedly, and they found drugs in his apartment, they weren't even supposed to be in the apartment. It's because the one Boston police officer got the thing wrong. It was supposed to be in 217, and somehow they ended up in apartment 127. Thankfully, there was still drugs in there, and they were able to catch the bad guys. But you got to be able to know and be able to say what is right and wrong, and not just, we are in the right always, and we're protecting ourselves. The bad, obviously, with that is talking about his abuse of power. And he still cuts deals. He still cuts deals with Roar at the end, where you're trying to be able to push and pull and tug a little bit. Some of that might need to be done, but you just let someone who allegedly shot a cop get off. That's not good. So that's why I look at him and I say a 7 or a 7.1. Then you have Jackie Roar, who is an FBI detective. If I'm looking at Jackie, I want to be able to give him a higher score. Can I give him maybe a 6.1? Is that too high? I probably would have said 10 years ago he would have been a 7.5 or an 8. But he's been in so long, and he's starting to abuse his power even more. On a good thing, he took down a big crime family. He did a lot of good in the city, is what they said in the episode. That's great. I fully stand behind that. But on a bad aspect, you show him now as being lazy, drunk, abusing the system, a racist. He's just going and who knows if it's a girlfriend or whatever that he's fooling around with in the restaurant. He is not portrayed well in this. You constantly want to hope that he is going to change. That what he is not what he could be. And that is definitely something that we'll talk about here in this next topic after we talk about Jimmy Ryan, who is our other main character, Jimmy Ryan being the bank robber who this is the person where you look at, just like the opposite of Hodge, who should be very bad. You open up the character introduction for him of he's a bank robber. And he is robbing the vehicle that is carrying the bags of money, and he shoots two people. And he is the leader of this group. That is very bad. That there is no sugarcoating it of he should be very bad. But why I would give him on a scale of 1 to 10 a 2.5 and not a 0 is because you show that he is a family man himself. That he has three kids. That he cares about... Jimmy Ryan versus Frankie Ryan. Frankie Ryan is who I'm talking about. Excuse me. So Frankie Ryan is the one, he has kids who he cares about. He's the leader. He, you know, is killing the two people in the vehicle and is a bank robber. But on the other hand, on the positive thing about him, that he has his wife and he has his kids that he cares for, that he wants to help out his brother. Then you see him have a blue collar job. He said, look at me. The money doesn't change the way that I work and the way that you still have to do things. And so you see that he maybe still has a good heart. He's just loyal to the wrong things. I guess that maybe is a huge overall thing of being loyal, but being loyal to the wrong things. And then you get in to Jimmy Ryan, who I confused earlier, and Jimmy is the relation of Frankie Ryan, and he I see as being the worst out of everyone here because it doesn't seem like he has very much of an upside in that he's very cocky. He doesn't care about the impact his actions have on others based on the fact that Frankie is having to rescue him, and he is not hitting it off well with the other members of the bank robbery team because he thinks that he's better than everyone else. He's far too cocky. The only thing that salvages him maybe as a 1.0 or a 1.5 is that he does have good skills. He does seem to be able to want to be able to help and can help. So maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I give him a 1.5. I do want to be able to shout out before we go to this next topic, just AfterBuzz TV, in that if you guys are watching this, you are seeing that we are major super fans of every single show, and this is not the only show that we cover. We cover dozens of shows every single week across dramas and reality television and horror, and there is every single show on television, we have an after show for it. And even shows like the ones on HBO, Chernobyl, and this on Showtime, and other network shows, we have after shows for them. So if you guys are enjoying this content, chances are you're going to be enjoying other content as well from AfterBuzz. So go check that out. If you want to be able to support us, this is free that we're offering this to you. The only thing that we ask, go subscribe, like, comment, rate, tell a friend, and that will be able to help us and help us be able to provide more content for you. Something that is talked about throughout this episode, we've talked about it a little bit so far and beaten around the bush a little bit, and that is how things are versus how they should be. And this is something that is brought up by Aldis Hodge's wife in the episode, her character, talking about this. And this is played evidently throughout of how things are in the past and how things should be in the future. And we are right in the middle. We are in the present. The past is how things are. The future is how things should be. And seemingly, as we know now, looking back in hindsight, that they do change. But we are in the present. And so we're constantly torn about that throughout this whole episode. And it is very much evident by Kevin Bacon and Aldis Hodge's characters, where Kevin Bacon's character, Jackie Rohr, you see that and you know that he has 10 years of history, that he is the old school. You see him at the beginning. Got to stand up for Boston police. Got to be able to stand up for Boston. He seems to be the one who is pushing this old school agenda, letting off the informant, trying to protect this way of life. And then you have Aldis Hodge's character, DeCourcy Ward, coming in, and he is how they should be, where it's actual justice. You're taking down people who do bad. And as he again says, I want to tear it all down. I want to get rid of everything that is old and put in everything that is new and how things should be. And it's that constant battle. And I love how they do it. I really have to compliment this series of I love exactly what they're doing, of you're complimenting the good and the bad, the old versus the new. And you're seeing here this picture of these two characters who, as we near the end of the episode, are working together on taking down the bank robbers. And Jonathan Tucker playing Frankie Ryan and Jimmy Ryan played by Mark O'Brien. And you're seeing this of these people having to come together and move this gear that is the present, and you're moving it towards the future while maybe holding on to some of the good things that there were in the past. And so I love this dynamic. I love the dynamic of good, evil, new, old, how the way things are versus how things should be. And I think that's really going to get played out even more so in the future of this show. I hope so, in the remaining number of episodes that we have, that it's going to be a slow process, though. It's definitely not going to be fast. In that I don't want anybody to expect that it's going to be an overnight thing and we're going to be cheering for Aldis and he's going to have great victories every single time. I don't see that coming. I see that this is going to be a very slow and methodical process and having to give in on certain things and be able to take certain things, and I just think that it's going to be a very long process. So those are our big segments for tonight that we're talking about as far as topics. We do want to move in, though. We have a special top three segment because this series right here very much stands in line with the other Boston crime dramas. And so this top three segment tonight is we're going to look at the top three Boston crime movies that have aired and very much compare to this. And the first one that we're going to name is The Departed, which was 2006. Incredible movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Jack Nicholson, and Matt Damon, where you have the Boston cop played by DiCaprio goes undercover trying to infiltrate the organization of a gang chief, Frankie Costello, which is played by Nicholson. It's super amazing. This movie won all sorts of awards. Very, very good if you haven't seen it. The next one that this reminds me of even more, not surprising considering it also had Ben Affleck at the helm, is The Town, which was 2010, starring Ben Affleck, also starring Jeremy Renner and Blake Lively. That talks about robbing the Boston Red Sox facility and being able to get millions of dollars and very much incorporated in Boston and being able to, we are Boston, everyone from the outside, like we stick together, we band together. Great movie. Very, very good. If you haven't seen that, check it out. And the final one is 2015, and that is Black Mass. And that is starring Johnny Depp. It's also starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Joel Edgerton. And this is talking about the good versus evil that is Benedict Cumberbatch's character, who's a leader in the Massachusetts Senate, and Irish hoodlum James Whitley Bulger, played by Johnny Depp, who continues to pursue his life of crime. And so you have that good versus evil and the power grab, and he becomes one of the most dangerous gangsters in U.S. history. So those are very similar ones that will shout out as a top three. If you guys have not seen any of those, definitely want to go check it out because they are very similar. As we move in to the news and gossip segment of the show, we go to a piece from NPR.
TV News.
And NPR, a lot of people praising this series. If you look in the news, a lot of people saying this is very good. As we talked about from the acting standpoint, from the true aspect of it, of what they're basing this off of. And NPR had a great article titled "Expect Excellence from City on a Hill, a Cop Drama That Won't Disappoint." And really praising this, saying that there are really two good things. City on a Hill, though set against actual events and police scandals of the time, is a fictional story with fictional characters. The other major difference comparing this to Serpico is that it reflects the TV complexity of our time and what we do expect out of ambitious TV drama, and seeing that unfold over several weeks. But overall, this, looking at news and gossip, there's been a lot of just praise about this show And praise from the acting, praise from the format, praise from the writing team, which I'm very happy to see, and I hope that it will continue to build as these episodes go on. Next, we move into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
My predictions throughout this episode really changed as the episode progressed, because you go from the very beginning where you're having them not like each other at all, very much hate, and there's threats exchange, to the end where they're having to work together. But that same feeling throughout is that I don't think it'll last. I don't think that there will be smooth sailing. I think that each of these characters, Aldis Hodge's character in Ward and Kevin Bacon's character in Roar, they each want their own thing, and they're not willing to give in. They're willing to help each other get what they originally want and be able to, I'll help you as long as I'm getting a benefit from it. But I feel like there will come a time where there will not be a benefit, and that is where there'll be a major impasse. And each character is going to stand his ground. And looking at this from hindsight, Aldis Hodge's character I see will be the one that will win. Obviously, looking at good over evil, that's where I see this going. And if you're asking me for a prediction, I just don't see this ending all right for Roar. I see that something is going to happen to him. It could be an injury, could be taken out. That's just where I see this going as far as a prediction. We have several more episodes to go. Very excited about this series on Showtime. Looking at it after one episode, I am sucked in. Very excited. I hope you guys feel the exact same way. And I hope you guys will join us for the future of this show on AfterBuzz TV. Every Sunday night moving forward, we're going to have the instant reaction and discussion to be able to break down this series and to be able to break down individual episodes and the characters and it. Just be able to hear your guys' thoughts and be able to form that dialogue. Thank you guys for joining us for this incredible episode, again, of City on a Hill, Showtime's new series. If you guys want to be able to follow me after the show, you can do that at TheOnlyMC on Instagram and on Twitter, at AfterBuzzTV. And again, go check out several other shows that we have here. You can get great analysis, expert interviews, and interviews from the stars of the show. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.